This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 536, recorded on, what's today? September 13th, 2017. I'm Brian Kilby, and with me this week, we have Don. Don, you're the man of the hour at HasCon, and you weren't even there.
Apparently, I missed another good convention, even though all the signs pointed to it not being a good convention. So maybe
it was a good convention.
It was.
It actually was.
It was. We'll talk about more of that later. We have Diecast.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
I am out of habits, out of practice since I wasn't here last week, so I'm going to have to fumble through this. Thank you guys for covering, by the way. Eric, thanks for being here. Jason, who's in the chat right now, thanks for being here. So that was awesome. You guys are great. Eric, again, here. How you going? How you doing? God, I'm just like screwing up. You know what I need? Caffeine. So,
bottom you need
up.
Monster. And,
yeah, you need that special Dunkin' Donuts Monster drink.
Yeah,
that's good.
So isn't that just like pureed donuts, and you just sort of shoot it into your system directly? Is that what that actually is?
God, hey Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
It's Rob.
Hi.
Okay. Gosh, man. Okay. So, HasCon was last week, the first one ever. Much of the show will be taken up by HasCon this week. We'll be talking about it. Plus, we had a couple interviews that we will insert into the show. What else we got going on here on the show this week? Lots of news. Not just HasCon stuff, but just a lot of stuff going on this week. But first, we are going to start off with the winners. The two winners. Originally just going to be one. I decided, what the hell? We got a lot of awesome HasCon swag and stuff, so we'll do a second winner for our, I can't even say it, our RFC on Alexa contest. On my other podcast, I do Alexa, so. But yeah, so we have a contest where we are giving away Titans Return, Top Spin, and a couple of Legends toys. And all you had to do was leave a review for the podcast on Amazon. Whether you get it in podcast form or whether you get it on the Echo, it's all well and good. So let's go ahead and talk about our winner. So I'll read the review first and I'll announce the name. And I don't know who this is, so I'll have to go in and get the information they sent me. But the review said, an excellent source of news and extensive knowledge base of Transformers from toy lines, movies, and even comics. I love listening, watching the podcast. Like the individual mentioned below, these folks have great time great timing, except if I can't read worth a damn tonight, on everything Transformers related before it's released. So that's from a Gearhead. So congratulations to a Gearhead. Once I actually go through my email and see who you are, I will contact you and I'll get your mailing address, and you've won Top Spin in the Legends toys. But
one of the best Titan Return figures.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But we had some extra swag from HasCon, so I decided to do another winner. This winner will receive a wonderful prize pack featuring HasCon stuff and other things.
Don's never mind.
Yeah. So we have this is from an Amazon customer. Again, I'll go through the email and see who it is. Brian Kilby is the hardest man in podcasting. Hardest working man in podcasting, certainly not the hardest man in podcasting, as you can tell. He literally does not sleep. Fact. That's true. Everyone should listen to the Happy Daily, and Transformers fans should listen to the RFC Daily. Both are fun to listen to. I'm hoping for a Chip Holloway Daily. That would be great. That must have been just recorded, because I just did that podcast like yesterday. That's wonderful. Okay, so congratulations. I'll contact you, get your mailing address, and we will send that stuff out. So, sweet. God, I need more caffeine. I'm gonna quickly. That monster's not cutting it, so I'm going to open up the Rockstar and dual-wield. So, so good, caffeine. Let's see here. Anybody get anything this week?
I did.
Diecast, you did.
I did. I got another head, and this time it's Grimlock, or for the fans' toys, Iron Diebot FT-08. So I got my more G1 accurate head, which I enjoy it. It's a very nice head. And then I also got DX9's Rick Tovin, which I like him a lot. The only thing I can really say about it, there's some parts where his joints are way too tight. This door to get into where his little heart is very hard to open. And I feel like I'm going to break it or take paint off or something like that. But I really like the figure. He's a good size, too. I mean, he's pretty much, he's heavier than a deluxe, but he is pretty much deluxe sized. And I also got a Titan Master RC from Hascon while we were there, which she is especially lovely.
She's a lovely lady.
She's a lovely lady. And then I also got Primitive Prime because they had the SDCC exclusives there. And I think Transformers-wise, that's it.
Awesome. I'll go ahead and go because first I want to mention Diecast brought me a couple things to Hascon. He brought me, it's not a KO, it's not a KO, is it, of anything, Diecast? It's a combiner of, like, bugs.
Yeah, it's just some weird, you know, Transformer.
It's a magnetic bug. Sorry, if anybody watched this week's What Happened to the Headmasters, that'll make sense.
Yes.
Yeah, or listen to it, yeah. So, but it's a bug combiner. I have not had a chance to open it and put it together yet, because I have been swamped. Oh, my God. So much stuff going on. But I got that, so thank you very much. But my favorite thing you got me as a joke, and I love it. So we drove Kim's car to Hascon. He assumed that we were going to drive mine. So he got me a sticker that says Transformers Armada, and he was going to put it on my car. You know, joke's on him, because it's awesome. I'm going to wash my car this weekend, and I'm going to put it on there proudly.
Nice.
It's beautiful. It's just the Armada logo and that white vinyl styling that you get basically, you know, at a gas station or whatever. It looks great, so I'm super happy about that. And Jason, right now, you should join us live in the chat when we stream the show live each week, starting at about 7:30 Eastern time on Wednesday. Jason is in the chat right now. Whenever I mention something, he is just sharing it in there. So, Jason, you are the man. Thank you very much. I love that. Let's see. Also, I got, thanks to Anthony Brucalli, my friend. God, I've known Anthony so long. Anthony was one of the folks that I actually read about on the internet on a website before I met him, which is kind of funny.
Same.
Yeah. Well, I read about him on the internet before you were born. That's God almighty. So somebody actually had, so our 18th anniversary episode is coming up next month, and we're going to do a contest. But my friend Ricky today suggested that the episode should be, oh my God, I can't believe it's been 18 years, for like an hour and a half. But yeah, but Anthony got me, Octane and Blitzwing. So thank you very much. I was able to pick that up. I got her head just fell off. RC, I got, God, I don't want to break it. I got RC here, and I'm going to lean over in a second once the next person starts talking and fumble around until I find the head. But I got RC. and
that's how Don's got lost.
Nah, his is okay. I checked. I didn't check it because it's still sealed. Leonad and Ultra Magnus. Plus, Diecast snagged me because, God, I was worried it wasn't going to be there when I got to it. Primitive Prime, and it's really nice. It's really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
And honestly, you may not have gotten it if...
Yeah, it is one of the exclusives that sold out, because we managed to get some because we were in line earlier, but I know that was one of the first things to sell out later.
Yeah.
Rob, what'd you get?
I got Deluxe Titans Return Breakaway and Legend Sea Spray, and somebody got those for me off of my Amazon wish list, and I have no idea who. The notes were not signed or anything, so thank you very much, whoever did that. Breakaway, of course, is a white chrome dome, so it's a really nice figure. That's half of a custom I want to do eventually, because apparently it's not that hard to install this Titan Master on the 2007 Breakaway from the movie line. And that just sounds like it'd be pretty good.
Cool.
Huh. And Seaspray is just, he is really nice. I don't even know what to say about it, but it is just a really nice, solid little figure. And just the only Seaspray I've ever handled is the original. So it just keeps feeling like it's too large compared to that tiny little, you know, G1, G2 hovercraft. But, you know, it's legend size. It looks good. I like the little missile launcher. I am getting over some kind of flu, so I am not good with the word things tonight. But
oh, me neither.
Thank you again to whoever did this. I really appreciate it. That was great of you.
Cool. That is awesome. Thanks to whoever got that for Rob. Seaspray is wonderful. Oh my God, he's a wonderful toy.
Yes, he is.
So in the chat, Jason had asked if the Voyager Optimus Prime from the last night sold out, and
it didn't. It's like the Luke and Rey set for San Diego Comic-Con. They said that was one of the first things that sold out too, and it didn't sell out. It was a mistake. They crossed it off the list when they shouldn't have. And the same thing goes for the movie Prime, I'm almost certain, because I saw an entire case worth behind the register at the end of the show too, and they had added it back on the list by then. So yeah,
I'd like to mention Johnny Law in the chat. Thank you. He said, keep up the head jokes. I appreciate that.
Oh,
so.
God.
He's the only one.
He's the only
no,
one.
No, he's not. He's not
yes,
alone.
He's the only one. Let's see here. Who else got something? Don, what'd you get?
Yeah, I picked up two things this week. Thanks to the Amazon link and my incredible lack of willpower, I picked up the 10th anniversary U.S. version of the 07 Optimus. I got the scratch and dent box one they have, which saved me about $15. So I've got this.
What do you think of it?
Well, I just got it today. I know the figure is not the best figure compared to what eventually came on, but I've always liked this figure for it just being so different, but it just looks really nice when it's not falling over. Sorry, I didn't have the heels set up right on that one.
So how much that. Is that figure?
I paid $65 for it because it was again, all this anniversary stuff is a little expensive, I know, but you know, I didn't really care about the box and the figure's in fine shape, so I figured these scratch and dent boxes don't last that long, so I figured I better go ahead and get it. If I want it, I'm going to get it. I got a little overtime at work, so I figured I'm not going to find it any cheaper for a while, so why not? And then about 2 weeks ago, thanks to an Amazon coupon, I went ahead and picked up off of eBay the Calibur Optimus Prime, the one where they redid the Dark of the Moon trailer that now becomes the shield, which really changes the profile of the figure in robot mode. And thanks to the coupon code, I was able to get it for basically Hobbylink Japan base price of $60. And I paid $8 for the expedited shipping and insurance. So I still got it about $20 less than what it would cost shipped everywhere else. So I'm looking forward to opening him up as well.
Awesome. So Don, sorry, people are in the chat are talking about the Amazon warehouse deals. That's basically how I buy everything, especially like podcasting equipment. So when you guys get like a dinged up box, that's why. So let's see here. I haven't had a chance to listen yet to last week's show. I just haven't had. Usually if I'm not on, I listen to it like the next day, if not like hours after it posts, just because I'm anal and OCD like that. Have never had a chance to listen. So did you take any credit for the debt issue or the issue that Toys R Us is having with its cash problems? Is that you at all?
No, because that means I bought more than I was planning, not less. So no, that I had nothing to do with that.
Okay.
Besides the number of primes and sound waves I got for all of y'all definitely helped.
Cool. Okay. Eric, did you get anything?
Well, just a couple things. I did get Headmaster RC, which is weird to actually own.
I know, right?
It's just weird. It's just odd that it exists now. I got the Primitive Prime, which is really nice. Like, really nice. I'm so glad they had that at the show. 'Cause
yeah.
And it's so weird. You think, okay, it's a typical black repaint, but there's so much as far as nuance on that figure,
so
as far
sharp.
As the paint goes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's just so sharp.
And the figure, and it's the same price as the other Optimus, which is basically the one you can get off the shelf with slightly better paint and a piece of tire.
Yeah, and
maybe
you know, it's
a
almost
piece
just,
of tire.
Yeah,
you have one on the way, Rob.
Thank you.
It's almost the normal price for a leader figure, but the deco is definitely nice, and the accessories are neat. Neat is an understatement. I got Steel Bane from the last night, which was all my disappointment ever. Just bottled up into one figure. It just falls apart. It's so sad. It looked so cool too. And then I got the portable battery Optimus Prime, which is really neat. I didn't think it would be neat at all, but I just keep using it and transforming it back and forth, and I love it.
And you can murder, like the movie Optimus Prime, you can murder someone with that thing.
Oh, God.
His head splits in half when it transforms to. It's really weird. Like, you literally rip his head in half to put him into battery mode, and then whenever you're putting him in robot mode, you just take two halves of his head and just slap them together.
But it does light up the head, which we found out, which was
cool.
Yeah,
and the sword, which I finally did. It actually looks pretty neat when you plug in the cord and have the sword up.
Did that sell through?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay. No.
Okay.
Did you ever get the tablet Soundwave they did last year?
No, I debated it. I like this because it's functional, too. I
have the tablet.
Sound.
Does it work? Does it run Android?
No, no, but just the thing Eric said about the head reminded me because Tablet Soundwave's head is in three separate slices, front to back, that you have to close together. Huh. It was interesting and also slightly creepy.
Yeah,
I like Tablet Soundwave just because of how thin it is in the tablet mode, and then it actually turns into a robot. That's what I thought was neat about that figure.
Does it unlock with a face scan?
It does. It's nice. pre iPhone X.
Okay, so Matt, did you get anything?
Not much. Nothing Transformers related because TFCon's coming up in about 2 weeks, and a lot of pre-orders coming.
Oh my
so I'm
God,
trying to
it is
save a little
weeks.
Bit of money. Yeah, but I did cave in, and I got the little Mega Constructs He-Man and Skeletor.
Ooh, aren't they nice?
Oh, nice.
Oh, they are so wonderful.
I can't believe it's 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we just got back.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about that here in a minute. So let's go ahead and do a live mailbag because our friend Jared in the chat, Jared Hebert, has been trying to get this question to us for a month. So what is everyone's hopes and or wishes for retools or redecos in Power of the Primes?
G2 Dinobots.
Yep. Yes, that's exactly right. You just nailed it. That's so I'm assuming, and Jared, if you disagree with this, let me know. I'm assuming that he means things that are retooled for the line that are pre-existing. So, you know, it's kind of a cheat, but I would really like to get that Takara Tomy blast off that we didn't get. So I just realized a couple days ago that I don't have it. And I don't want to have to buy the set to get it. So if I could get that just as a deluxe.
Yeah, I don't have it either.
Maybe that'll be May Mayhem this year.
not this year, but
2018.
Coming. Yeah.
Or hopefully it'll maybe like a Walgreens exclusive so people can actually get it.
Yeah.
Wait, people can get Walgreens exclusives?
I don't like going to Walgreens if I can help it.
Yeah, they just come out way later than when they say.
Yeah, because I haven't seen those clones yet, and they were supposed
to be
out
eventually.
Yeah, they'll be out in October, like Brainstorm was.
They just come out later than what they say they're going to come out.
Someone says August, and then they show up in October and November. I have no idea how that works.
That's almost exactly what happened with Brainstorm, who,
yep,
incidentally, is still available last time I checked on Walgreens' website. So if you need him, he is out there.
So Ed just said, and if I'm blanking on this, he said Leader Ultra Magnus from Optimus.
That's what I was going to say.
But Optimus was a retool of Ultra Magnus.
No, no, no. The new Power of the Primes Optimus Prime.
The one that
has Orion Pax in the center.
Yeah, okay. I'm stuck on existing toys to be retooled for Power of the Primes. So
yeah, I don't know how they would honestly make that into Ultra Magnus. They would have to do some retooling on Orion Pax because
I mean, they wouldn't have to do and that much because that robot isn't super important. All they would have to do essentially is remold the chest and the head of Ryan Pax.
It would have to be more square. It would have to be.
But for the bigger robot mode, honestly, a lot of the trailer goes under Optimus Prime's arms, which they, with the Ultra Magnus into Power Master Optimus Prime, they took a lot of the trailer that became Magnus's shoulders and put it under Optimus's arms. So I'm sure they could switch it around if they could do one reshell to do it the other way. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure they could reverse that process and make it happen. And I think it's a perfect time because the whole becoming a Prime thing with the little robot inside and then the bigger robot mode for the Prime, that's totally what Ultra Magnus is a little Optimus Prime with big armor to make him Ultra Magnus. So
I'm fine with it as long as they do have retooling for that.
I'm reading in the chat just as these blur by, and my favorite is one that Hector Garcia said, which is Leo Zach from Voyager Starscream. Funny that you think of that.
Yes. Yeah. Please. Yeah,
that would work.
Oh, man.
I'm Diecast took the main one, obviously, but I wouldn't mind seeing, like, for example, G2 Beachcomber. You know, there's
or
that.
Did you see any of the G2 characters?
Yeah, just a little more G2 love here and there. And maybe if, because we know pretty much probably Takara is going to be doing, I'm using Darkwing and Dreadwing as Buster and Hydra. But it'll be nice to kind of get them in the U.S. as maybe a set. Hopefully not one in one set, one in the other. But it'd be kind of nice just to get them in the U.S. without having to import them. But who knows what's going to happen with the sets nowadays. The Rodimus looks really good.
Amazing.
Yeah. If anything comes of the Hasbro Collectors Club, you know, I can see them doing maybe... the Lost Light Rodimus / maybe a Shattered Glass Rodimus out of that.
Huh, or maybe that could get a mainline release, if only we knew.
Well, they're doing the one that's been teased later on down the road, which we're thinking is the black version, but we're not real sure. There's so much repaint potential, but most everyone's already thought of all that stuff, so there's not a lot.
What's the blue deco for Rodimus Prime? It's like a winter type themed. I forget, like almost like frost. Anyone know what I'm talking about? It was done on Masterpiece Rodimus Prime, I think.
The black and blue?
No, it was like blue and silver, or blue and white.
I don't remember.
It's really weird. Mm. Maybe it wasn't a real thing. Maybe it was like
probably a fan custom.
Yeah.
I swear that. Yeah. I don't know.
And if they want to release any Titan Masters again, Shufflers, Ultra Mammoth, I'll definitely pick up 2 or 6 of those.
Yeah, cool. I don't know.
Jazz is G2 Jazz as well. Who else could you use Jazz for? I mean, really.
You can turn it into a side swipe, sort of, if you reshelled it enough.
Yeah.
G2 sideswipe would be nice. Stepper would be neat too.
Yeah, then just bring over one of the
Gaara
minicons.
Mariosha in the chat is saying that you're thinking of Sideburn, which was an exclusive from ThumbPub. I completely forgot about that. That may not be.
I'm not crazy.
That wasn't the Masterpiece, of course. So that was the deluxe.
I forget what I was thinking of. Well, I mean, that is what I was thinking of. I was thinking of the wrong mold.
Well, there's not that many figures in the last 30 years. It's easy to get them mixed up.
God,
I was about to say, Eric, it is nice to know that somebody with, a 20-year newer brain than I have gets this stuff mixed up, too. That is really a relief.
Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, if with, with a Jazz mold that actually has a hood chest now, if they wanted to take another... pass on the Datsuns, I would be fine with that.
Yeah, I'm actually finally transforming RC. I've been afraid to.
I opened my Metal Hawk.
It's really nice.
He was scary to transform.
Mine was scary the first time. It's fine now. Like I transform it back and forth over and over.
Good.
What were the problems people were having with him?
No one was here. People were mainly scared. Nothing was actually breaking. And John Warden at Hascon did say that gold plastic syndrome is a thing of the past, not to worry about it anymore. So,
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I have seen stress marks. Mine is one of them that has stress marks on the shoulders straight out of the package.
But stress marks aren't disintegration, so I'm sure that's the problem they were shooting to solve.
Yet.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and move along. Don, thank you for putting the This Week in History stuff in there. Why don't you actually just go ahead and take care of it?
Okay, all right. This Week in History, two small things, but they're very important. This Week one in History, it's both really. In the year 2000,
in the future,
Car Robots introduced the episode Inner God Magnus, it premieres in Japan, which gave us the first real different look at Ultra as the Ultra Magnus character that we've gotten since the character was created for G1. With Optimus Prime's brother, one is still the Matrix, just a really different take on the Ultra Magnus archetype that we have seen up to that point. And just last year in 2016, Transformers the Movie is released on DVD and on Blu-ray for the first time in Region 1 by Shout Factory. So, again, that was, again, getting a better transfer and again, getting it on Blu-ray is definitely a plus for a lot of fans. And we'll be talking a little bit more about Transformers the Movie later on in the show, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, absolutely.
We will?
Yeah, Don, yes, we'll talk about something. So.
Okay. Yes.
Oh.
And, okay, cool. So let's go ahead and jump to the big item this week. HasCon, more like IsCon.
No, it has conned. We already conned it.
It's will con now because 2018.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It occurred to me at the convention, HasCon makes it sound like it was instead of something it is. I think they need to change the name of the convention. What are you going to do? HasCon, okay, so Eric Diecast and I were there. We made fun for like a year that it was going to be like, just bomb or just not make any sense. I was wrong. Man, it turned out for the most part really good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think it was so much as making fun to that only degree. It was just the lack of anything to go on for so long. And then what we got was so jarring. We didn't know what to think.
Yeah. I think what it is, we wanted a replacement for BotCon, and HasCon is so not that.
But it was still awesome.
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. As the type of fan I am, I didn't see how it worked for them till I actually saw it at the convention, and I saw kids walking up and looking at the stuff and pointing at it and be amazed, like even G1 stuff.
Yeah.
And then...
But
there was a lot of families and there was a lot of kids walking around and they had like lightsaber training where they were pulling kids
and
then some parents up.
Yeah, I think as a
family event, I think they hit exactly what they were looking for. For us, I think that things that were neat were like the panels where we get information that we normally don't get when we get to speak with the designers and the artists and the directors and the this and the that. So I hope for next year, maybe they add some more panels to kind of pull in some more of the bigger standalone fans. But I think as far as families, they hit it out of the park.
Yeah,
I kind of don't think they will aim it towards older fans because I think they did pretty well with what they intended. So I kind of don't think they're going to try to change it for...
In fact, I think they probably need to remove some of the stuff that they had in place to make it kind of like a convention. That dealer room needs to go.
Yeah, that dealer room was just kind of sad.
It was on the top floor, like away from basically everything. And they only had a couple of dealers, and they really felt out of place. Just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, we didn't buy anything from any of them, not that I'm aware of.
No,
so.
I got the Dunkin' Donuts energy drink, though, like three or four times.
Yeah, but that was free. Yeah. That was a handout.
This is true, but I've talked about it since the show started. One thing, though, that they told us was basically how to make the drink. And I will share it with you now. So basically, what they did is they said, take a can of Monster and then put 4 ounces of syrup into it. So I took a can of sugar-free Monster, put 2 or so ounces of sugar-free syrup into it, and it's really good.
Where do you get syrup from?
The Tarani syrup, the kind of stuff that people put in coffee and drinks like that. I ordered it from tfradio.net/Amazon. So, and it's so good. But yeah, that that deal room totally had to go. So, gosh, there's a lot of news that we can... I want to use this as a guidepost. I don't want to necessarily talk through every single thing here. But we got there, what, Thursday? Most of us did.
Yeah.
And Diecast got there after registration had closed. I got to registration, and it was – there's nobody there, basically. I mean, in line. There's like one other person besides me and my wife, which I felt didn't necessarily bode well for the convention. And come Friday morning, it felt like it wasn't going to go, you know, that well again because there weren't that many people in line. And Friday was pretty thin. But come Saturday, it really filled out pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Saturday was
their big day.
It really was. So let's see here. Gosh. So Friday, what was the big thing for you guys?
They switched the panel last second, so that was a little hectic. My first impression of Hascom was, wow, this seems unorganized. It changed the weekend went on, but at first I was a bit concerned because, as you said, it was not super packed on Friday. There wasn't high attendance, and then they had switched the schedule was messed up. It was not good because we had already gotten in line for the exclusives, and then we found out, oh, the Transformers panel isn't at 5:30. It's at 11:30.
We were already
partway through the line. So we were like, no, we're not getting out of this line. We waited for so long. We're getting our exclusives. It's happening.
And they had SDCC exclusives,
yeah,
which
exactly.
We knew would be even more limited than the Hascon exclusives. So we kind of were stuck. Like, we wanted to see the panel, but we didn't want to miss the exclusives. So, the panel would have been later.
And it was supposed to be. It got switched with Marvel Legends because I talked to the Marvel Legends designer. The Marvel Legends was supposed to be at 11:30, Transformers at 5:30. They thought that there wasn't enough people already in at 11:30 because of security and stuff. People were still filtering in, is what they said. So they decided that the Marvel Legends needed a bigger crowd versus Transformers, so they switched it.
Ooh.
So Marvel Legends Legends had a bigger crowd later, and Transformers had a smaller
crowd. It was in a smaller room, though.
Yeah.
They had it in the tiny cramped space.
I'm not saying it makes sense. That is just what I was told by the Marvel people. So,
and it was kind of, it was just, you know, from my perspective, it was just kind of odd that the up-to-date schedule was available on their website, but they were, you know, they were handing out printed schedules that had it wrong. That was just kind of weird. Unavoidable, I guess, but.
So it wasn't perfect. There were a lot of little things that were off, exactly to what you said. There were a lot of finer details that were missing.
And it was mainly Friday that we encountered those, right?
Yeah.
There weren't many, if any, that I encountered on Saturday or Sunday.
I can't think of any.
Yeah, me neither.
I just want to say that I'm glad it got better, and I'm glad you guys had a good time, because that first like couple of hours watching on social media, that was looking like that could be a real disaster, just from the lines, the shifting buying limits while you guys were in line.
Oh, that was
bad,
man.
Too.
But
yeah,
I don't know if we can blame Hascon for that. I think that's a Hasbro toy shop thing.
I was following you guys on Twitter on Friday, and it did not look promising at the beginning.
Oh no!
Yeah,
so let's
terrifying.
Let's go ahead and talk through, I guess, some of the things that happened. So the first thing you guys did, you went to the line for the exclusives. The exclusives ended up being kind of a challenge. We found out when we got there that there was a limit of 2, but we first thought the Hascon stuff was a limit of 4.
They were saying it was a limit of 4 Hascon items, 4 per Hascon item, 2 per SDCC item. And so I got in line, but Diecast wasn't allowed to get in line at first.
Kim wasn't either. She went in line to get me the Primitive Prime, but couldn't get in line.
Yeah, because they said it was a fire hazard to have the line so long, even though there was four lines, just to make it clear, there was four lines we waited in, like, as in we got to the front of the line and were taken to a new area where we were put in a new line and got to the front of that line and taken into a new area with the line for the actual stores. And then we got in and actually bought our stuff. But by that point, we had been told by three different Hasbro employees, three different limits for the items. The first one said it's still four per HasCon item. It's still two and two SDCC. Then they were saying it's two per HasCon item now and two per SDCC. Then at one point, someone said it's only two items total. Like, you can only walk away with two things. And we were about to flip out. We were like, no, that is impossible. That has to be wrong.
Yeah.
But we had waited so long. That's when we were getting to towards the registers. We were like, no, we waited all this time. It can't just be two things. And it was turns out it was the middle. It wasn't the four, and it wasn't the only two items. It was the two per HasCon, two per SDCC.
While I went in with ambitions of getting like 10 RCs for everybody that asked, and I got a friend, a local friend, who I hardly ever talk to anymore since changing jobs. And he's like, hey, man, I know you're at HasCon. Could you get me an RC? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. No, I can't. There's a limit of two. But I understand it because, you know, mm-hmm. it's kind of like when that dude bought up all those Fortress Maximi at Ollie's. He dropped like $1,600 or whatever it was, or $600 on all that stuff. It would really suck to go and want that and not get it. So I can't fault them for it.
Oh, no, I don't blame them either. I thought it was a little odd that they said they were starting out with four and then it shifted later. And that wasn't wrong information. It was four per HasCon item, apparently, at the very beginning, because the employees back there did say that they changed the limit to make sure they didn't sell out for that very reason.
And RC did not sell out.
No.
But it was close. I would say they didn't have that many left when I last checked on Sunday.
It's hard to tell, though, because they had boxes and boxes behind that normal checkout register for the non-exclusive stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, because we got to see that, and we also saw them bring more stock from back there of the RCs. So there was definitely more than what we saw behind the counter.
Yeah, they didn't sell out of any HasCon exclusives while we were there. They only sold out of the SDCC exclusives. Yeah. So hopefully it's pretty easy to get them on September 20th from Hasbro Toy Shop.
Yeah, so that is a week from today.
Yeah,
check Hasbro Toy Shop. Hopefully, if you didn't get your RC or your whatever, you know.
I'm curious how fast they sell out.
Yeah, me too.
Probably.
It seemed like they had a lot.
But is it a lot when you're going to open it up the whole U.S. pretty much? You know, it still may only last a couple minutes.
Yeah, I guarantee there's a lot of people that wanted that figure that just weren't willing to make the trip to Rhode Island.
Yeah.
So.
And it's funny the amount of people in the line who were there for Magic. Magic was definitely like
number one.
Yeah, their big success. I mean, between the size of the room that they had and to do, you know, actually tournaments and stuff, I was amazed that Magic was so big.
I was told that going in, and while I trusted implicitly the person that told me, I was skeptical. I'm like, man, you know, this is Hasbro. I mean, Transformers, My Little Pony. No, Magic number one.
Transformers did have the biggest, like, display area out of all the franchises, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
I think so. I mean, Magic had the biggest room because of people playing and stuff, but in terms of, like, an actual display, I am pretty certain that Transformers was the biggest, not counting Nerfs, because that was mainly room to shoot stuff.
Okay, let's sort of talk, I guess, about what was there. So, obviously, Transformers had a big area where we had, just like at BotCon, we had a display case with the toys coming up. There was a play area where you could feed Trypticon food, which was
food or Titan Masters. They had little tiny cereal boxes full of Titan Masters.
Yes.
And they were giving out those posters.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy that we got those posters.
The Trypticon poster is amazing.
Trypticon Crunch.
Gosh, what? Okay, so there was some Transformers cars. There was Bumblebee with cutouts of Megan Fox and what is the name of it?
Shia LaBeouf.
That Megan Fox cutout disappeared at the end of the show.
Did it actually?
Did it?
I thought you meant like they took it out before.
No, some fan stole it. That would have been great. There was a little theater area where you could watch Transformers movies and cartoons and stuff.
Apparently, they were only doing the movies. They were doing Transformers one and two because they
didn't want to show 3 through 5 because they were too violent for the little kids.
I saw Rescue Bots on the screen on Sunday.
They did have Rescue Bots at one point on Sunday, but almost the entire time it was literally movie 1, movie 2, movie 1, movie 2.
Let's see. There were some Transformers. It's mostly movie stuff, props and things.
I did a lot of last night props.
There was a display of classic stuff, which my favorite thing, and you guys know this. They had the G2 aerial bots -1. G2 slingshot was not there in the display.
I wonder why.
Yeah, that was great.
Well, it was. Did you see the dust in the display case?
That's great. What else? They had some prototypes, mostly from Robots in Disguise.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the prototypes are awesome. I still don't know if we've gotten all those figures.
Some of them are unreleased stuff, like the Battle Damaged Bumblebee. That actually never got released. I found that out later. The Scraplets from Transformers Prime, those were like a concept, apparently. They never got a release. The Blaster repaint with a new head of Dark of the Moon Soundwave, which looked pretty neat, that never got released either. So it was a lot of... Those were the concept things. Everything else was basically gray models of things that we know about slash are out.
Let's see here. What else? So, was that it, Transformers wise?
Yeah.
They had G1. They had a case of G1.
Yeah, the classic G1 stuff. I mean, the G1, G2 stuff. Nothing that impressive in it. There was Fortress Maximus in the box, but it was the G1 toy, not the reissue, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was.
And a bunch of movie props.
Yeah. If you want that Excalibur or whatever the heck it was from last night.
Yeah.
So Marvel, we can sort of hit this one up, I guess, a little more quickly since it's not Transformers. Marvel had a lot of costumes from the movies, which I don't... Do we know there were costumes? Because, God, they were all so taller than I am.
Yeah, they were costumes. Well, they were on
They were costumes.
Too,
yeah, they were all just raised up. They weren't actually taller than you.
Yeah, they
especially
were.
Especially with Spider-Man. They shouldn't have.
Spider-Man,
they were raised up pretty high.
He looked like he was about 10 inches taller than I am.
I think you're remembering it wrong. Okay. They were on
a platform, but yeah.
Yeah, that Thor costume, I was eyeing that costume up pretty hard. It was the new
Ragnarok. Yeah.
And I was like, if I was standing on that platform, I would probably fit into that costume perfect.
Ooh.
I don't think he's that short.
No, he's not. Oh man. That's not nice. let's see here. There was this neat display where you both, I think, got photos in it where it's basically the Marvel Legends Black Series with a hammer.
Yeah, it's the Marvel Legends like packaging.
Yeah.
And you got to stand in it with the hammer. And the guy who was there told me some pretty neat poses to do. So that was fun.
That's cool. Let's see here. Marvel, anything else cool?
Doing the 6-inch retro packaging for a couple figures.
Oh, yeah,
and Captain America. And
I kind of want those.
Wolverine.
Like the
toy
old
biz.
Toy biz?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because yep. I'm thinking, what could be retro for Marvel Legends? And I wasn't sure if they would have the rights to the toy biz stuff or not.
The Iron Man looked awesome. That was my favorite one.
It's like an old school Iron Man.
Yeah. Which Iron Man is it? Classic? Like
Mark 42.
Golden...
Yes.
I'm kidding.
If it's classic.
Six?
Early 90s, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's to emulate the toy biz, it should be like the post-Armor Wars one.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's see here. I didn't even pay attention to Star Wars. I hate that I don't care, but I didn't care. So what was in Star Wars?
Nothing new.
They didn't have many new toys on display. They had like the Emperor Palpatine's chair from Return of the Jedi that you could go sit and take a photo. They had a Darth Vader just standing there. That was pretty tall. They had R2-D2, BB-8, and Death Star, like, beanbag chairs, which those are kind of neat, actually, that you could just sit in. There's a bunch of stuff for the toys, but not really much to do there. Not as much to look at, I'd say, either. So the display with the Black Series figures, though, was amazing.
Yeah.
It was really well done. It had some of the best scenes from the movies just all throughout there replicated perfectly. Like, I wonder how long it took to set that up, because it looked really, really well done, but it looked like it would be a pain to do.
Oh, you reminded me, they had that big diorama from the last night that looked really cool in the transfer section. I haven't posted photos of that. I know other people have, but I got photos I need to post. I guess I technically need to do a write-up of this for the website, because Hasbro asks for that stuff. It's like, hey, send us a sample of your stuff. Can't you just give me a press pass? And you know us. Don't. Yeah. Let's see here. What else? Okay, so My Little Pony. They had a thing where they would like paint you up as a My Little Pony. They would do like art.
I thought that was for the troll. Oh,
never hair mind. For trolls. And yeah, got his hair done.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
There was a wall where you could color. And Kim got some choice photos of me playing in the My Little Pony section, which I probably won't share. They're on my personal Facebook. Let's see here.
I figured since, I was trolling Don all weekend, I might as well get my hair done up as a troll.
The thing is, it didn't look bad. It was actually, it kind of looked neat.
Yeah.
It did. Well, it did. I mean, compared to your flaming red haircut last year or year before last, it's not much difference.
No, it was much more multicolored.
Mm.
Let's see here what else they had. So the trolls, Play-Doh, Mr. Potato Head, Sesame Street.
Hey, Brian, did you happen to ask the Hasbro people, you didn't tweet about this, did you ask them about your Transformers Weeble Wobbles, whatever happened to those?
No.
You didn't? Okay. You
should ask that in the interview.
Different brand team. I mean, different team. They probably have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I love the end jokes. Diecast, so we're going to play the interview after the segment, or after the news, and Diecast got one of our end jokes in, and it worked great, because that was something that they did. But yeah, the Weebles.
Was it the submarine one?
Yeah.
Good, because the
John Warden really appreciated that.
Good. I was hoping you'd get John Warden with that one, because the Jack for T-Formers actually asked them about that at SDCC, and that he did not get John Warden, so they did not quite get the joke and gave cool. us a straight up honest answer.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was so good.
I will have to listen to that, because I want to hear what John Warden has to say about it.
I hate that I wasn't
talked
there.
To John Warden after that in the panel that we were at.
Oh, and that was great.
I warned him. I was like, just to let you know, I'm going to ask for that about it. And, every other time I see you, just to keep it relevant and in your mind. And then he went into this story about, when he used to work on the G.I. Joe team, one of the jokes was Snake Eyes, that they had to do Snake Eyes all the time. So he did one that was really different. And he was like, that's the one that goes, for like $90 to $100 on eBay right now, because it's like one of the most different Snake Eyes. So, I love to get that interaction with the designers and the brand team managers. It's almost better than doing an interview with them, just to be able to, talk to them like a real person and not actually interviewing them.
Yeah. So we have to have the PR folks with us when we do the interview. And I was asleep. I took a nap. Kim and I had no plans to actually do the convention on Saturday. But our interview got bumped like three times. So Diecast and Eric ran that. And, the PR guy was there. But the next day, I love when Diecast does this, we just followed him into the panel room. We didn't realize that we were supposed to wait at the door. So we just walked in while they were setting up, and we sat there. And, John was just very conversant. And it was really cool. I really enjoyed that. So
right before that, I also walked into the Transformers VIP room,
yes,
and someone handed me a signed Susan Blue RC poster. So I got a signed poster.
He did. The last one.
The last one. He was like, here you go. I was like, oh, thank you. It was great.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome. But yeah, so let's see here. So we played Nerf on Sunday. That was great.
That was funny.
Actually, I guess you guys played. I actually tried to get video and my phone crashed in the middle of it. Thanks, Android 8. Yeah.
So I guess in that case, it was nothing.
Yeah. Yes. So we played at the Hascade. Kim and I played Connect 4, a gigantic Connect 4. That was fun.
Anthony and I from Anthony from TFU.info and I played the Bumblebee Human Alliance game. It was okay. I played it before. Anthony was just getting some video of it while he was playing, and he thought second player didn't work. And then I started just like grabbing it and shooting it, and we realized it was on for two players, and that's why he kept dying, is because I wasn't playing. So then I started to play, and then when we got through the game a little bit easier.
Let's see here. The G.I. Joe section was rather small. But they had a couple of displays, one where you could take your photo, like in a Snake Eyes card, blister pack display. There was a display where you could get your photo taken in a 12-inch G.I. Joe box, a gigantic one. And the thing I thought was most interesting was the Paint Masters that they did, which is basically they would take the toy, scale it up, the mold, scale it up, paint it, to make sure that it looked right, and then apply those that paint to the smaller to the regular scaled toy. So it was basically like 6-inch A Real American Hero stuff. I really want those.
And they had a ton of those on the Hasbro headquarters tour too, which was really neat. Yeah, they had a lot of them.
So I didn't go to that. Obviously, I'm too cheap to go VIP. So tell us about that.
So they started off. Like outside, you were only allowed to take a picture with Mr. Potato Head outside the building. That's the only picture you're allowed to take. Then after that, it's no photographs. So we got in. They told us the history behind Hasbro.
Didn't Monzo take some photos while he was there?
He did.
I love you, Monzo. You're my hero.
I watched him. He was technically allowed to take photos of one thing because the guy who was on the tour couldn't think of what the Transformers item was. So he said, you could take a picture of that to ask John Warden later, even though you're not allowed to take pictures of anything else.
Okay.
He took pictures of other things, though, I saw
him. I love Monzo so much. And his mom, too. His mom's great.
But yeah, they let us through. Yeah,
Monzo was awesome.
And showed us a bunch of the art and stuff, which was neat. They showed us how a lot of the figures are made, which was really neat to see from the perspective of the designers, which we got to see how a Black Series figure is made for Star Wars. And I saw one or two figures that aren't announced yet that I don't think I was supposed to see.
Nice.
So that was cool. No colors or anything. It was like orange models, but it was like the figure. I was like, oh, that's not announced. So I was like, that's interesting. Then we got to go back through all the offices, and man, everyone that works there has their offices decked out with a bunch of random toys, like from whatever line they really like. And it's not like necessarily things that are super rare or stuff like that. It's just things that they like. Like one guy had it's from Transformers Prime Beast Hunters, I think. The weaponizers, they were like leader class size. Mm-hmm. The Optimus Prime that was totally green. I don't know if any of you remember that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Someone had like two of those just hanging out in their office.
I don't think that one was released.
It was. I saw it once. Okay. I think. Pretty sure I saw it once, and I thought that's weird. But someone had two in their office. There's a lot of different things, and it was neat to just see how they go through. And also, the history of the building was impressive. It goes back really far. Like it used to be where they actually produced G.I. Joes and stuff like that. Then it got mixed up into like packaging. Then eventually they turned it into their headquarters. It's weird. It goes back even farther than that to actually making weapons for, I forget which war, one of the wars. But yeah, it was really neat. It was a shame I wasn't allowed to take pictures because it's such a cool designed building to begin with. But all the stuff inside was amazing to see.
Was that the building across the street or the other building?
The other building.
Okay, because like, that building looks much newer than what you're describing.
So it's 10 minutes out. The building that we we're in. It looks very new, but it is a very old building in terms of the actual structure. They've renovated it over and over, so it does look very new on the inside, but it is a technically very old building. What is left of how that old building? I honestly don't know, because they like to talk about the history. I honestly don't know if any of that building's left, but it's neat.
Cool. Let's see here what else was going on. So we had a concert.
Concerts.
Which one?
Friday night.
Oh.
Friday night, I think that concert was when we were all thinking this did not go how Hasbro wanted it.
It was Daya, who I'd never heard of before. Daylight come and me want to go home.
She did have some songs that I recognized from being on the radio.
Yeah, not songs I like. They're usually songs that I change the station when I hear on the radio, but it's stuff I've heard on the radio, which, again, they're appealing to people who would
listen to that. So that was one where we were encouraged to come down to the floor.
Because it was so dead. There's no one there.
They actually made us go down to the floor. They did not want us to sit up top where we were.
And in the press video, when they have video from the stage, you can tell that it's kind of empty and around the back. Yeah, not my thing, but she did a good job. And, the people who are into that stuff, are like the teenage girls in front of us, were really into it.
Yeah.
She's my age, so.
Yeah.
I was surprised when I learned that.
She looks like my wife's teenage cousin. She looks almost exactly like her, so it's weird to me.
Actually, he would have really appreciated her bright orange pants.
Yes, he would.
Yeah, she did look like that that Star Wars black suit.
I love that you tweeted that out.
Then Saturday, we had Toys to Men. Love the idea of a corporate house band.
I hated the band.
I didn't hate the band. I thought they were good.
No.
Yeah, I only saw the very end of it, and it was not good.
So I work at the corporate offices of a company much larger than Hasbro. It's a Fortune 40 company. And it would make so much sense for us to have a house band. People internal that can play music so that when we have an event or something that they can just play. But
you
we don't
should
have
recommend that.
That.
Idea box? Can you?
Can't say. So I think I'm stretching it by saying we don't have a house band. So, but that was awesome. I love that. Yeah, they were pretty good. I wouldn't pay to go see them, but they were pretty good. You know, I didn't pay to go see Dio or. It's not Dido. Deo.
Dea.
Dea, sorry.
You can't even get it.
Or Saturday's big artist, which was Flo Rida.
He actually did really good.
Yeah, that was good.
Not my kind of music, but he was awesome. He was really awesome.
Every song he sang was either his or he's in it. Every song. I did check. So I was happy about that, unlike the other concert.
Yeah, I've heard every single one but one song he played I'd heard on the radio or Kim playing it before.
Me too. The one about Cake was the one I didn't hear before.
I think I heard that one before.
Yeah, I've heard Cake before.
That's the only one I haven't. At least I don't think I have. Every other one I knew pretty well, actually.
So
I love Cake, so you mention it and I'm remembering it.
It, obviously, it wasn't a paid show. He got paid for it, but I'm certain he didn't get paid by the tickets. It was a flat rate, so he didn't care. You know that it wasn't a big crowd. Probably better for him because everybody could see him. Everybody could get in engaged. He could talk to basically or wave at everybody in the crowd. He did an awesome job. He does a great job of playing the crowd.
Yeah, whether you like his music or not, his performance was really, really well done. He really involved the crowd, got people to come up, and just he did a really good job. I was pleasantly surprised by how well he did. I actually enjoyed it.
And so, obviously, since it was a corporate event, he probably has a corporate package where he says, "Yeah, I'll even mention the event for you." So he managed to sneak that in quite a bit. Actually, on our RFC Extra. We started off with a audio clip that Anthony recorded, which was "Welcome to HasCon."
That felt really forced. That was the only point in the show where because that was like the very end where he'd already finished the song, and then he was trying to get the crowd to sing it, but the crowd wasn't that loud.
No.
"Welcome to HasCon." I was like, this feels forced. But overall, it was good.
Yeah, it was good. So that was the concerts.
Directly after that was the VIP dinner.
Which I didn't go to, so tell us about it.
It started off with inducting, I forget his name, the producer of the Transformers movies into the Transformers Hall of Fame, which had a really long video with a lot of famous people saying congratulations. Then also Sue Blue got inducted, and that had already been spoiled earlier in the day by Peter Cullen, which was really funny during the panel. He mentioned that, you know, we're so proud of her getting inducted into the Transformers Hall of Fame. And the guy running the panel was like, that was a little spoiler, but I'll let you have that. Ton of toys. Some were really nice. Some were just like one-step changers. But like 70 items, including stuff signed by Stan Bush and Mark Wahlberg. But they had all that stuff there. And apparently, whatever seat we were in, you had to feel underneath. And if there was a ticket, you got to go get the thing. And so some people got a Trypticon. Some people got a Masterpiece Optimus Prime or Masterpiece Movie Bumblebee. There was even a Dragonstorm, the leader class figure from the last night. Yes, there was last night Wave 3 stuff. I think there may have even been a Cogman, Deluxe Cogman. They Jealous. Definitely had a step changer Cogman. But I was like, yes, I'm going to get something. But no, there's over half the people got something. And I was managed to be in the minority of people who didn't get anything. So I was sad.
Aww. How many people showed up for the VIP event?
I guessed, looking at the chairs and the tables, I think my estimate was 110, I think.
Did they have empty space? I'm assuming they didn't set up for people who weren't there.
No, there wasn't any empty space at the tables, like, at all.
Yeah, they said it was sold out, because I asked about it Saturday morning, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, I just want to know if, you know, how much it is to get in. They're like, oh, it's sold out. Like, oh, nice. Okay.
Good.
Yeah, the food was good, and then they said, because we didn't know necessarily what all we'd be seeing that night. Then they said, yeah, we have some new toy reveals for you and then the Stan Bush concert. So we excitedly all went back down. And they started showing us, oh, the jackpot of reveals for HasCon, which was Primal. I mean, there was Moonracer. There was some of Abominus. I think it was Rippersnapper and Hunger, which is not a retool of Silverbolt, by the way. Confirmed by John Warden.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I can see where people would get that. It's very similar in
some of the shapes in the limbs. See that, but it's
in
not
concept. It's very it's similar, but in execution,
it strikes me very much as a thing like Titans Return Chrome Dome, where that they're not actually sharing any parts, but some of the concepts were definitely borrowed from earlier figures.
I think that is an appropriate way to describe it, but I think it's even less so than Dead End of Chrome Dome, because that transformed like the exact same way. This clearly does not transform the exact same way, but it is that kind of a concept thing, definitely. Rather than sharing parts, which it doesn't, even though some people refuse to accept that.
Yes.
Primal was definitely the winner. Yoga-san was there. There were some really cool stories he told. I loved that. He put together an Optimus Prime costume in one day for a party he went to, and it was really good. And so we got to see a picture of him at the party. He said it was a very good party. For any of you that were wondering, it was a very, very good party. It was only 1984, I think. It was really interesting. Then the Stan Bush concert, which he sounded very tired. And we were all tired, because that was like 10 o'clock by the time he got on, I think. Or at least maybe later. And we had been starting, I don't know what time it started, actually. It had been a while, though. Like, we had been there for a while. Most of the people left by the time the Stan Bush concert started, and I don't blame them. I stayed for a couple songs.
And he played, apparently, with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, that happened actually before the panel, because they had all the actors. I forgot that. They had all the actors and voice actors, so Peter Cullen, Frank Welker, and then all the Last Night actors. But they told us at the VIP event, they said, yeah, on the way of walking in, Stan Bush and Mark Wahlberg sang, they sang The Touch. So it's on social media. You guys need to go look at that right after this event ends, because you guys have been wanting that to happen, and it finally happened. So.
Can't they have been wanting it to happen,
But apparently a lot of people have been asking for it, so, according to them, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm certain people there probably thought about it. It's one of those things that when Boogie Nights came out, which I've never seen, and apparently it's great, that was back in the day when there was so little Transformers stuff that was out there, especially when it came to G1. And the fact that he was singing the song in the movie, one, was weird, and two, was just like an affirmation for a lot of people, or confirmation for a lot of people, that, hey, Transformers are cool, even though the producers of the movie thought that it was an unreleased song. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so they had no idea it was an homage to Transformers, the movie, when that when that movie, when Boogie Nights was made. So, anything else for Saturday, the VIP?
I think that's pretty much it.
So what else? I mean, Space Ape was there. They showed, we saw a Power of the Primes, or pardon me, Prime Wars trilogy panel, where there was information shared about the new Infernicus toy in design.
I like the story for the Earth Wars, how they were trying to design, what did they call it, Dino King?
Yeah, I thought that was funny. That there's a like, Predator King, so why not a Dino King? Well,
yeah, so let's make a Dinobot combiner, call it Dino King. We'll pitch it to Hasbro. They'll never guess, they'll never expect this one.
You know, I, honestly, though, if they were going to reuse a name, I would totally be cool of them reusing Dino King, or they'd never even used Dino King. It's a Takara name. So that would have been cool, but they didn't. So Hasbro's like, well, hey, since you mentioned it, we're already working on that, and here's the design, here are the CAD models.
And it's called Infernicus.
Yeah.
Which is a far less cool name. I still think they should have named it.
Volcanicus, sorry.
I said Infernicus. I still think it should have been called Extinction. That would be so cool.
Or Grimstone or something like that. Since that
anything but the Beast.
Yeah. Okay, what else? Anything... They did
tease Predaking on the panel. I don't think you went. You didn't go to it. The panel on Sunday, the Transformers panel that was repeated, the product panel.
Yeah.
They teased Predaking at the end, even though we already know it's happening. But
yeah, they teased it at the.
Did they?
Yeah.
I didn't know they teased it before. I missed that.
Did everyone go? Oh, I didn't even think of that.
That's such a neat idea.
Yeah.
That would have been a really nice surprise, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have loved that. And,
Okay. So, man. Okay. Anything else for HasCon? General thoughts? Closing thoughts? Welcome to HasCon.
It was fun.
It was
fun.
That
grilled cheese restaurant was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm always, my friends always give me grief for not partaking in local food. When I go to an event, it's like, oh, you went to McDonald's, you went to Subway, great. Well, I mean, so this isn't, the food wasn't like seafood, which is, I think most people would think of when you think of Rhode Island, but it was a nice little local joint that made awesome grilled cheeses. I ate there 3 times.
I think I ate there 4 times.
Wow.
It was called U Melt.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was U Melt, and it was so good.
It was so good.
It was. I would like to go there, just try it out and see if syrup works on those sandwiches as well.
I don't get it.
Something my father did was he would pan fry the grilled cheeses and we put syrup on top of them.
No, they didn't do that.
Yeah, they had a lot of weird different options.
Diecast got the white trash every single time he was there.
Yeah, it was good.
It was grilled cheese.
Mac and cheese and pulled pork.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds good.
I got the pulled pork and it was good. I'm from freaking North Carolina, you know, like, and we know barbecue here, and it was pretty good.
I got the big cheese, which just had every cheese shoved in it, which was really good.
It was good. I think I like the classic more, which is just a grilled cheese. It was really good. But yeah, so the convention, it was surprisingly good, especially if you are a parent with kids. Not being a parent with kids, I personally don't know that I would go back.
Like we've said before, this is not meant to be a replacement for BotCon.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. I went because I wanted to go to the first and possibly only HasCon. And
it's definitely not the only.
Yes, I am totally. I'm totally striking that out. That only. I wanted to go to the first HasCon. It was really impressive. Hasbro did a phenomenal job with the convention itself. again, there were a couple of things that were missteps, but for the most part, they nailed it. One, the biggest misstep of all, I think, was overproduction of like swag and stuff. We didn't even talk about that. Basically, all of the giveaways, they had way too many of them, so they were just giving out like magic decks.
Oh, dang. The last day we went by the magic area where they would give you like a starter deck to go and learn how to play, and apparently you could pick one of the five different types, and that's how it went the first couple of days. We stopped by on the last day, and Ant said, he was like, this lady just like lets us take magic cards, like let's over and go over and grab some. So we went over and he was like, oh, can I get a second one? She's like, yeah, please just take one of each kind.
I don't want to take them back.
Oh man.
Yeah. So they were like, we don't want to take them back, so I grabbed five.
So those little art cards that they did, that was a giveaway if you went to every single station, apparently they just dropped them out on Sunday. Yep. I wish I'd known that, because I'd love to have grabbed those.
I got a second set. So
That would have been awesome giveaway swag.
They're really good, too. The drawings by the designers and their favorite Transformers, most of them are really well done.
Yeah.
Stormshot from Robots in Disguise, which is ironic because that's the one character that nobody knows anything about because he's just a brand new character. He's definitely the best, like undoubtedly the best drawing out of all of them. So cool.
Okay, so let's go ahead and jump to the news.
Oh, there's news.
An hour and 20 minutes. Okay, so I'm going to run. I'm going to run through this because the show is going to be extra long because I have like 25 minutes of interviews to play. So as well.
Nice.
Power of the Primes art assets leaked. This popped up today, didn't it?
Yeah.
XV wrote the article. I have not had a chance to read it yet. Rob, did you look at it?
Yeah, it's just, this is apparently from one of our normal Weibo leak sources, and there's nothing like earth-shattering in it.
Yeah.
It's some of the artwork that was seen at HasCon and was released online after the show, and there are various, there are the glyphs down the side, and XV has translated the messages for the article, and yeah, nothing... just generic, I want to say term, slogan, something like that. Nothing particularly revelatory, but it's all in there if you are curious.
Yeah. I guess we actually really didn't talk about what we saw at HasCon when it came to the new toys. We mentioned Volcanicus, which was the combiner for the Dinobots. We saw the Dinobots, which we, saw in the leaks before. What else new? We saw Optimus Primal. Did we see the Jazz during the leak? Or was Jazz?
Saw that at SDCC.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else new?
Well, Cloudburst had only been seen as part of the leak before HasCon. That was new. We hadn't gotten a look at Rodimus Prime's deluxe robot, the Hot Rod, before. That looks really nice.
It does.
Also, we did find out, since we're talking about Volcanicus, we found out, yes, they do combine. The Voyagers come with dedicated feet. The Deluxes come with dedicated hands that double as armor pieces for them. And each of them can mount a Prime Master or Prime Master shaped object, of which I think there are probably, counting Titan Masters, probably going to be four in total when all is said and done.
Was the Slash reveal new?
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Yes, Slash was new also.
And there were people posting immediately on Twitter saying that it was a stolen design from a fan, which they shared the CG model from like 15 years ago that they're referring to. And other than being like a Velociraptor and using a general color scheme, which, is the general Dinobot color scheme, I just don't see it.
Because nobody could have ever thought to make a Velociraptor in G1 Dinobot colors.
But a female.
If this one fan hadn't come up with it.
Yeah. So it was a female. So, I just didn't see that. People, of course, jumped on and said, well, Hasbro's stealing third-party ideas. Well, I guess when you talk about, somebody borrowing the color scheme for the Dinobots and then create your own Dinobot, I mean, who's doing the lifting and who's not? So
and beyond which, if we're talking about the female third party female Dinobots, I think we're talking about, thank God, Hasbro did not steal any of that design for Slash.
the Fans Project ones?
Yeah probably.
Yeah. So
one thing we did not see or hear anything about was any form of collector's club.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, did you guys, someone told me that they said that RC was actually going to be released to retail at some point.
So, yeah, we don't know.
Other okay. than Hasbro Toy Shop.
Yeah, because I thought I, you know, so, somebody told on Twitter told me that they said that at the show that RC was a first release pending a, you know, broader retail release. But I don't know if that's the case or not.
So John was asked and John said it was more of a Ben question. And apparently when asked about it, Ben did not give a straight answer.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think what you should count it as is Hasbro Toy Shop is going to sell the remaining, so that's your regular retail release.
I disagree. So
I disagree
on the basis that nothing else they offered, none of the other exclusives which have also gone up to Hasbro Toy Shop have been offered specifically as a first sale. They've always been termed exclusives.
Yeah.
No.
RC was offered as a first sale.
So is Star Wars Black Series Captain Rex. That is being called the first release.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else.
So
same difference with that, right? Though, I mean, we don't know where that's going to be at.
No, we don't know where that's going to be at either.
But it's not like in the past.
The Black Series figures that they always release it in a regular packaging without all the accessories. So I think that's what we're going to see with RC too. If we do see
without
it,
without the lean ad.
Without the Ultra Magnus
diecast,
but
okay. So, cool. Let's see here.
Last thing we did see in the cases that I don't think has been brought up too much. We did see again, no official confirmation was given, but we did see confirmation of the unique enigmas of combination that come with each of the Voyagers. There was one by Grimlock's feet, and there was one in Starscream's package. And just like the Matrix cores, they seem to be basically Titan Master compatible blocks. Yep. So you'll have things to put into Overlord's chest, if nothing else.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see here. Also, it was suggested, I don't guess it's news, but we mentioned the Leozak thing. With Starscream.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was assumed. Then we, the Dinobots, I saw on Twitter, people were suggesting that those would combine, so, or be retooled. That would be interesting. Let's see what else we got going on. I'm just going to try to run through this because we've been going for an hour and a half already. And there's a lot of stuff left to talk about. Power of the Primes has hit Toys R Us's computers, so that's good to know.
Important takeaway, release date in the toy or do not sell before date in the Toys R Us computers is December 1st.
That's for everything except leaders, which is in January 2018.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah. Huh. So that's interesting. So this was something definitely worth mentioning. Lynn Wein. It is Wein, right? I've never actually heard it pronounced that.
Oh, Wein. I think. Wein.
Passed away at age 69. Apparently he had cancer. Was it cancer? He'd been sick.
I believe so. I'm not entirely certain. But course, he'd been sick for a while from what I take.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mark Evanier, who is a friend of his, I read his blog pretty regularly, and he said that Wein had been sick like on and off most of his life. So this may have just been a like long-term recurring illness that finally went terminal.
But
and for those who don't know, Len Wein is responsible for a lot of the most famous, you know, comic book characters out there.
Swamp Thing.
Wolverine. He created Wolverine. I've heard basically of that one. The X-Men as you know them today would not exist without Len Wein.
Mm-hmm. Transformers wise, of course, several episodes across different series, but my favorite, of course, which is Webworld.
Mm.
So that's very much unfortunate. Okay. So this could have been the big news on any other week. We got, for me anyway, we got photos and confirmation finally on, actually, was the news this past week that we were getting a G2 Megatron? Was that on the show last week?
It Maybe. Was. We did not have pictures.
So now We have pictures. So G2 Megatron was announced through, I guess, Big Bad Toy Store and the retailers. But we had no idea if it was going to be the green G2 Megatron that many of us know and love, or the purple Arch Force.
Hero Megatron.
Hero.
So, well, he is purple, which is not really a surprise because
it's
Japanese, and every other version that they have shown has been.
And Night Sword raised a good point on Twitter, because I am disappointed that it is not the green one. But if they released him in Japan as green, there would be confusion with him being Megastorm.
It could have been Megastorm.
It could have been, but I'm just saying, it could be they may have something planned for the Megastorm character the road it wouldn't fit in or something. But I mean, he raised a good point. But I think what's interesting is the Titan Master that he comes with too.
Savage Noble. That is so weird.
And that is the Beast Machines episode Len Wein wrote into Death.
Yes, you're right.
Yes. One of the few Beast Machines episodes that's kind of interesting. But Savage, that's how they're getting the Fangry mold, is Savage Noble, which I never thought of that as being an option for the Fangry mold. And it makes perfect sense.
Trying to find a photo of it. That's really odd. I mean, they got Beast Machines. I just never really thought about it.
They did get it a good bit later than everybody else. Yeah. I think it was released in something like 2007 as Beast Wars Returns.
Yeah. Although I am still thinking about keeping my pre-order, because even if it's not the green one, the purple and black still works on that Megatron mold.
Well, it's great. Yeah.
I wish it had less silver.
I would like some more teal in that robot mode, probably.
Yeah, so somebody did a digibash of this Megatron deco a while back, and it had the frames for the side of the torso in teal, and I think that
was mock tackle.
Yeah, that was mock tackle, that would have made this. Also, just personally, since you can mount that gun on the figure's shoulder, I kind of wish the back piece was orange.
Yeah,
but yeah, just. When I heard that they were doing this, I really wanted it, but the way they've done the deco, personally, I am just really happy that Takara Tomy saved me $60 here.
I still like it. I'm keeping my pre-order.
I'm keeping my pre-order. So we
debating.
I'm keeping my pre-order. So we have photos finally of Windblade's Target Master, and we have no idea who it is.
It's Pinpointer. With no crosshairs, which makes no sense, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we know who it looks like.
Maybe that's a hint on who's coming up at some point.
That's my thought.
I don't know. If they were going to do a Pinpoint or a crosshairs, they would probably include his Target Master with him at this point. But there is that, that Hasbro Orion Pax. You could stick a new head and this gun on it, and you're pretty well set.
Absolutely.
Not close enough for my personal tastes.
Fair enough.
Well, but neither was Wheelie as Dion in the Ehobby set, but
we got it, didn't we?
Yeah, sometimes
but it was close Ehobby. Enough. But it was Ehobby, not a regular retail release.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Okay, so I'll be honest with you, I have not looked up at this best lineup at all. So I have no idea what's going on here. Rob, you posted this. Tell us about all this stuff.
Okay, it's basically more reissues of movie figures with new deco and accessories. My favorite is Hound, which is the Transformers The Last Knight Hound with a new cap to fill out the truck bed that doubles as a shield.
That looks great.
And other than that, we're getting reissues of movie Jetfire and a whole bunch of other stuff, which is not loading fast enough.
There's Last Knight Megatron. He actually has the red stripe that he had in the on his face that he had in the movie. And then there's Nemesis Prime in the leader mold. Is it the Excalibur? Is that what it's called? Optimus?
If it's the one with the giant axe and the shield from Excalibur.
Yeah.
They did that as Nemesis Prime, and I want that mold now, and I hate myself for wanting the leader mold.
It's
but I actually
not,
want it.
It's not an awful mold. It's just kind of very simple compared to some of the previous leader movie Optimus Primes.
I really want it. I want that amazing deco for Nemesis Prime on the Voyager mold because I love the Voyager mold. So yeah. I hope they do that at some point, but I might buy the leader. It looks so, so nice.
I'm just kind of glad they didn't use that mold and use the U.S. Night Watch colors and call him Nemesis Prime that way. Because I love that Night Watch motif so much, I would probably buy that mold again.
In the, it's stepping back a couple items, but in the chat, Jared Hebert said, doesn't know if anyone else saw it in the Slash's torso, but he thinks she turns into a gun because of the piece on her back looks like it's 5mm wide. I could see that.
I thought she combined with the mode like a chest plate or something.
There's not been any confirmation on either. Of course, there was a carded example on the floor. Matter of fact, I think John Warden actually cracked it open to show the toy to somebody. And I didn't see from the photos I saw, I did not see any call outs on the package as to it doing anything besides seating a Prime Master or Titan Master.
Yeah, I don't expect any kind of integration with this because they've moved on from that from Combiner Wars, and now the play pattern is the Legends go with the smaller price point. So
yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so the Machinima Titans Return poster, which we saw at HasCon, we finally have an actual graphic of it, and it's
is it the Trypticon?
Yeah,
the Trypticon one. It looks so nice.
Yeah, it does. So it looks like it's the same pose, but it looks like the actual backdrop is a little different because it's like he's destroying a city in what we saw in at HasCon. This has Optimus Prime and Megatron in the foreground, but it's still really cool looking. So there's that. New Transformers Designer's Desk video for Premier Leader Class Megatron. Don't know why I'm including that, but I did. Anything that we can glean from that, Rob? You posted the article.
Not particularly. There's some relatively amusing outtakes because John Warden, of course, is not a professional actor. So at the end of the video, and other than that, it's a decent look at a pretty nice toy.
Let's just pretend that I put that in Rob Watts on T-Formers this week.
Okay.
so that is done. That one is already in the can. So that's cool. So let's go ahead and jump to, gosh, this is the longest episode in like 2 years. Let's go ahead and jump to the interview that Diecast and Eric did with John Warden at HasCon 2017.
This is Diecast here with Radio Free Cybertron. I'm also here with Eric Cronover, and he is going to help me interview Ben Montana and John Warden from the Hasbro design team. Ben is marketing, and John is the lead designer. Did I get the titles right?
Yeah, all good.
And we're going to go ahead and ask a couple questions on here. First question. Titan Master RC seems like a no-brainer. What was the journey like for this character to finally get a toy? I believe you and I have actually had conversations about this toy.
Yeah. Well, it's gone back and forth. I think that one of the most important things to recognize is that right now in the Transformers fandom and the way the toy line is working, we're finally in a place where doing a character like RC is not a... it's not a fringe character anymore. I mean, this is a main character, and the collectors have spoken. They want this character. Because I remember a time when people were freaking out about the Thrilling 30 version, what a big deal was that RC was finally getting a toy. And believe me, that was an incredible rendition of that character. But being able to bring RC to life as part of this special edition version is really cool. It's very special because... it does pay tribute to that rebirth episode where Daniel becomes the head and all of that. And we've even had a little bit of fun with the name of the Titan Master, Leonad. And even the design of the head, you'll see, because this is special edition, you'll see extra deco details that maybe are a step above what you would get with a traditional deluxe figure. And you get one of these die-cast metal Titan Masters. So if you're collecting the series packs, this is in line with those series packs. This is the intelligence module. And the packaging art, for fans that have seen it, has that like icon of the intelligence mixed into it. But to be truthful, RC, creating this character was a really long journey. We were able to reuse parts from the Blur mold, which we know is popular, but redo parts that really made a difference, like the shoulders, the front of the car. The vehicle was actually based on the IDW rendition. So we were able to kind of update it a little bit and modernize it. But I can say this, so Suisan, famous Takara Tomy designer who brought us great classics like Trypticon and Devastator, we actually went back and forth and he handpicked the color for RC. So the RC colors on that are handpicked by Takara's very own Hasui-san. So I think this version is super special.
And I think, you know, it may or may not change your interest in that figure why we did it, but for us, this event was the culmination of all that with Hasui here, Marcelo who did the box art, with Susan Blue here as well, Stan Bush, you know, 86 movie. It was kind of like pulling all the forces together. That really was a big part of why we chose now to do it. So, you know, we appreciate everyone that's been patient, and hopefully you guys can get your hands on it.
It's something that Ben and I work really hard on is getting the pacing of the characters right. So it's like the character, we may not do a character in 1 year, but that doesn't mean that the character is never going to come out. And in finding the time that's right or an anniversary that makes sense, the best way to celebrate that character or the best possible time to allow it to come to life, it's a big part of the puzzle that we work on all the time.
I believe it is the perfect time for this figure, especially because Susan Blue is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame tonight. It's something that's really special. So...
Okay, so we really love the crossover toys from San Diego Comic-Con, and it seems like these are often the only G.I. Joe toys that get released from year to year. So what can we expect this year?
You know, we can really only talk most intelligent about Transformers, but that was a fun set to work on. The G.I. Joe team's great, as you guys likely know. John has had his hand in that brand in the past.
Oh, yeah. I worked on G.I. Joe for 7 years.
So I think we can't necessarily talk about the future of G.I. Joe, but it's, you know, not far stretched to think that we may do some more. I mean, obviously the comic continuity has been fantastic, so you know, the option's still there.
Yeah,
and, no, John, and John, your inspiration, I think, for a lot of your movie toys was G.I. Joe based, right?
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just a big military vehicle nut, so I love realism of jets and things like that. The design of Decepticon Nitro, I worked back and forth with Kunihiro-san, who also loves military vehicles. So the two of us were trying to out-military each other in terms of realism on that thing. I'm a big stickler for accurate cockpit size and landing gears and stabilizers, things like that, trying to get all that stuff accurate. Because little details like that, like the pitch of the helicopter blades on helicopters and stuff, those types of things make a big, big difference. And I learned all that from G.I. Joe.
Awesome. John, you and I have talked about submarine modes, and since Sixshot got a submarine mode, is it possible we could possibly get a Megatron with a submarine mode?
Hard to say. It's an ambitious thought, though. I'm glad you appreciate Sixshot.
Diving deep for that one.
Diving deep. Diver down. But I do like the fact that you appreciate the Sixshot version, that's for sure.
We asked our listeners what questions they would want to ask. So we have a couple of questions. Drift, will we get another take on that character at any point in the future?
Interesting. Movieverse, you mean? Is it they clarify, or are they IDW?
I think they
mentioned
IDW, but I'm not sure.
Not in the works, but we draw inspiration from IDW all the time, evidenced by the fact that we just did Nautica. You know, I'm a big fan of Rung. Like, it's possible. Where it makes sense, you know, like my preamble, kind of like, you know, where it makes sense, and as we think about our 3-year plan, like, where those pieces of the puzzle come together. I mean, stay tuned.
and I think patience. I think, you know, we've been talking to you guys for a couple of years now. Fortunately, in, you know, a different conversation 3 years ago, 4 years ago, to last year, and appreciate the patience you guys have all had. That, you know, a lot of what you're asking for, we're hearing and reading about, we get to. And I think that's where the fun and power of the Primes has been working with John, is that we can get back to Combiners. We can bring things back that everyone thought we were done with. Like,
yeah.
Combiner Wars closed book, everyone's like, oh, no more Combiners. You know, we had a plan. We knew where we were going to go. And I think that's where the confidence and patience for continuing to be vocal in a positive way to us definitely influences us. So.
All right, so we love that we're getting characters like Overlord. So are there any other, like, European or Japanese exclusive figures, like, on your radar? Like Thunderclash, Star Saber, Deathsaurus, Raiden, anyone like that?
He said Deathsaurus. He clearly didn't vote enough for Deathsaurus. That's not our fault.
Deathsaurus actually made it pretty far in the... Second, third, right? So... that's part of the reason why we held that fan vote, was just to kind of gauge popularity of some of these fringe elements of Transformers, and so it makes our job easier. We use all that data. We use the data that we got from the, you know, the Titan vote, or Hall of Fame votes, and things like that. Like, there are things that we learn from those, and again, like, just because Deathsaurus won now, he might be victorious later.
Didn't Cosmo get, like, most obscure character, like, 3 years ago, and then poof, we made a toy?
Right, yeah, exactly. Was,
any chance for the commemorative series to return?
The what?
Commemorative series.
Oh, I commemorative think. Series. The original G1 mold.
G1.
Yeah.
You know, it's... As John kind of alluded to before, you know, we try to celebrate anniversaries when we can. 10-year anniversary of the first film this year, the movie Masterpiece, was something we started working on about 2 years ago. So, I mean, we definitely have the vision to the future for that. So, I prefer every five. You know, 1, 2, 3 is kind of weird. So, we'll see how, you know, just do the math, check back, you know, and see what's coming up. And hopefully we'll give us the things that you like.
Good answer.
So on the recent switch on the Voyager and Leader class figures with the stickers, like, what was the thought behind that? Like, what was the intention? Why?
Well, it's actually kind of a dual prongs thing that we were doing. We wanted to pay tribute to characters that had the original foil labels, and we think it adds an extra dimension and texture. The foil label thing on Voyager class actually kind of started... I wouldn't say it was kind of a coincidence. It started with that Optimus Prime from Combiner Wars, and it's because that guy has bezels right there on his shoulder. So because of the design element there, we used the labels to cover up the bezels, and we also were able to. We realized it became a focal point, and then as the years went on, you know, characters like the Titans were able to get a lot more detail into those labels. So. Not only are we paying tribute to G1, but we're also able to kind of do a lot of things that would take a lot of paint ops to do, like, you know, symbols, letters. If you look at the wings of Starscream, the new Starscream we just did, there's all sorts of little call signs and Easter eggs in there. So it gives us a different level of dimension and texture. And it's something we want to continue doing in the future.
I got one. I think this one's for Ben. The distribution for the movie figures has been a little spotty. Like, we have a lot of Wave 1 on the shelves. Most people haven't seen Wave 2.
Yeah.
And we know there's, like, Deluxe Wave 3, where a lot of people are interested to get those figures, and even Deluxe Cogman.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to get an opportunity as fans to buy those figures?
I believe you will. Yeah, I don't see any issue. I mean, Wave 2 is starting to hit now on Deluxe. I think Voyager, we may be close to 3. I know the production is happening and the product shipping, so I fully expect. And I think the brand is doing, you know, we're having such a strong, great year, right? Coming off the last night, you know, going into the DVD Blu-ray release. You guys have been out there grabbing products. It's only giving more confidence to retailers to keep the foot on the gas, so... Yeah, if you haven't seen a Wave 2 out on shelf yet, it's hitting right now. And, you know, whether it's before Christmas or right after, fully expect it all the way out to Cogman. You guys will be able to get your hands on them.
All right, awesome.
Patience. That's the, you know, that's kind of the line for us with Transformers.
You know,
now,
sometimes so. Us Transformers fans get patient. A little nervous.
Yeah.
I don't know if patience.
There's history. History hasn't always been in your favor on that.
Yeah,
think,
the
you
movie
know,
toys
yeah.
tend to disappear
yep.
quickly after the movie disappears. Yeah. So I think that's.
We approach this line a little differently in that regard and how we kind of phased out the waves. So, you know, I think we learned as well. Listen to, again, fans, the voice, last film, and in the past of. Make sure we get through all the awesome characters we create.
Yeah, totally. Well, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it, and our listeners definitely appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we appreciate your listeners.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Rob, what's on Transformers this week?
Okay, we have got just some Hascon wrap-up articles. I did one on just before the show, I did a little thing on four things we'd like to learn more about. And just like we learned more about like 1.5, 2 out of 4, something like that. Nothing about the Collectors Club and nothing about Cyberverse, whatever that may end up being. Also, the really expensive G1 Monopoly board game. That was
a nice looking set.
Oh,
yes,
it looks
it is.
So pretty.
Oh, I did comment on that article because there was a mistake. It's not going to be $500. It's going to be $300 when it comes out. But what they said is as they sell through, the price may increase.
Okay. Well, it looks like the article was corrected. So thank you for that.
Oh, cool.
Also, let's see what is next. Well, the Designer Desk video we just talked about. And also I just did an article on, I think it was Monday, just updating what exactly we know about Power of the Primes, what we, you know, the things we can infer, the things we know for sure, things like that, and the figures that have been officially shown. If I've got anything wrong, if anybody has any comments, please direct them to me on Twitter at Figure Reviewers. I want this to be as accurate and complete as possible. So if we learned anything more at Hascon than what is in the article, please let me know.
Cool. Hey, and on Amazon, if you are looking for a copy of The Last Knight and you are a digital purchaser, you can go to tfradio.net/TLK digital, tfradio.net/TLK digital, and pick up the digital copy of Transformers 5 The Last Knight. That would be awesome. And of course, for anything you want to buy, like I bought like syrup to make soda with from Amazon, tfradio.net/Amazon. So, Don, there's a video or something you wanted to talk about that you saw on the internets.
Yes, I did. There is a movie reviewer on YouTube, also available at geek.com and other sites, named Bob Chipman. He goes by Movie Bob. I was introduced to him by Paladin, who sent me a link to one of his videos before the Green Lantern movie came out, where he did a rundown on the Green Lantern history, and I found it very thorough and very engaging. Even though I knew most of the stuff, I did learn some things that I didn't know. Normally, we don't get a lot of stuff from outside the fandom. I mean, if something major happens, like, you know, the live-action movies, your newspapers will cover it. Or if there's something like Peter Cullen coming back to voice Optimus Prime in the movies, a lot of the major papers covered it. But there's not a lot of, like, games media, movie media, you know, things like that, covering Transformers other than just the movies and stuff. Movie Bob has a series called Really That Good, in which he takes a critical look at movies that have either a nostalgic component or just a longevity, and tries to figure out, does the movie deserve the current reputation that it has? And
which reputation did he look at? The one that it's a terrible movie or the one that it's the best movie ever?
Actually, he did both.
Good.
Because he did. And see, that's what I like about Movie Bob is, He said, the very first line of this article is, Transformers movie is not a very good movie.
And then he points out
the reasons why. But he also looks at, it is considered in some cases art, and how people that watched it became more than just a commercial. So I don't want to talk too much about it, but it's nice to see a critical analysis of something in our fandom by someone outside the fandom. But not in a mean-spirited way, in a fanboy way. It's a definite, literal, critical analysis of Transformers the movie, and he looks to see if it's really that good. I've watched it two or three times myself already because it's just he sees things that I never really thought of, and there's some parallels in there to current stuff going on that, you know, again, when they made the movie, they would have known this, but in hindsight, there's parallels now that you can draw that you couldn't draw five years ago, which makes sense. So if you like the 86 movie, you don't like the 86 movie, or you're just curious to see what a critical analysis is, I really recommend going to YouTube, looking up Movie Bob, really that good, and the look he takes at the 86 Transformers movie.
It's a movie that's not very good that I love a lot.
That's better than G.I. Joe the movie.
Except, way better than G.I. Joe the movie.
Well, remember, the G.I. Joe opening...
G.I. Joe the movie is terrible.
Yeah, but the opening is... The G.I. Joe movie opening is its own little thing. Is the little its own little thing.
It's the... opening is better than just about anything. It's,
yes.
Unfortunately, there's a movie after that opening.
There are parts of that movie that I kind of like.
Yes, but Matt, on the DVD, the opening is its own section, so you just keep going back and just watching the opening section over and over again.
Yeah. So, hey, let's go ahead, and before we jump to What's on the Network, let's do our interview with Pablo from Space Ape, talking about Transformers Earth Wars.
I'm Pablo. I'm the social media manager at Space Ape Games.
Awesome.
So we're here to talk about Earth Wars. There's some exciting stuff coming, right?
That's correct. There are so many things coming up in the next 2 months. And I'll give you all the details for some of them, but probably the most exciting one right now, that is the most immediate one as well, it's Volcanicus and Predaking, the two new combiners. Predaking is known for the community before, but for example, Volcanicus is like completely new. It was announced on Hascon right here.
Yeah.
And on Friday, if I remember correctly, Friday around 1 p.m. This is really exciting. It's a Dinobot combiner, of course. It's completely new stuff. It's the only game, the only digital media where you can actually see Volcanicus moving. It's Transformers Earth Wars.
So, with this, how closely did you work with Hasbro on implementing the design for Volcanicus and all of the other characters? Like, we see Predaking here, we have Optimus Primal. How closely did you work with Hasbro on this?
Yeah, well, we're pretty tight with Hasbro. It's more like it's a collaboration, but it's really easy for both parties. We really like Transformers. They really love Transformers, of course. It's not only their IP, but it's also their passion. And for us, it's exactly the same. When we started creating a Transformers Earth Wars, we really like Clash of Clans as a game, and we really love Transformers, so we said, like, why not having a mix of those? And this is the result, right? Volcanicus, there's a really funny story about Volcanicus, that is when Chris, our product manager, said, they have this crazy idea, okay? Let's go to Hasbro and pitch for a Dinobot combiner. It was called like Dino King, right? It's like Predaking. We know Predaking is coming, and we know that the Decepticon combiner is going to be Predaking. Why not have like a Dinobot combiner that really finds its place when like facing Predaking, right? Two animals, right? Beastie, really fierce. So they're like, why not like Dino King, right? That's the name. So we have our model. We send it over. I said, hey guys, what about this? I mean, we would really like to do a Dinobot combiner. And they went like, well, you know what? We cannot accept that because we already have a model going on. So they sent us the first prototype of Volcanicus, right? It was a sketch only, really, really basic. And I said, oh, this is amazing, right? We can actually do it. And now that we are thinking about it, why not bring it to Transformers Earth Wars to life, right? And they say, we think that's a great idea. So basically we started this conversation, like back and forth, feedback, right? I give you my feedback, you give me back. And the end result is this. We're pretty happy with it. It looks really amazing. The character of the Dinobots are really in Volcanicus. You can see it in the movement there. We can probably have a video of this. We'll share it with you.
That would be excellent.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's this one here. It's on our social media already. So, yeah, I mean, Organicus is amazing. It's something that's really unique, and we're looking forward to the release that's going to be on the 21st.
So is Volcanicus actually playable content right now in this demo?
On this demo, you can play Volcanicus. We have, like, a demo. So you guys, as a demo level, you can also start playing the game immediately. You attack a base, and you can actually use it in battle.
Diecast, would you be interested in trying it out?
Sure. Also, some of our listeners wanted us to ask, is there a reason Shockwave in the game doesn't have an alternate mode? Is it because he was a gun and that wasn't allowed, or...
We love guns.
Yeah, yeah. And
submarine modes.
Yeah, submarine modes.
Well, it's basically the same thing like Megatron, right? Megatron is originally a gun, G1. But with all... I mean, the problem with that is, like, with... You remember the movie when Megatron basically becomes a gun and Starscream starts shooting with it? Yeah. It's like really lame, like for the leader of the Decepticons. And we said, like, okay, well, instead of going for a gun, we go for a tank, right? So it's more like it's a gameplay decision. Right? If you are a gun, actually, you cannot do anything by yourself.
You just lay there.
Yeah, exactly. You lay there and you wait to pick up. Hey, come on, guys, pick me up and shoot me. It's like,
but the threat is there, and you can make a lot of PSAs about it. Your kid shouldn't play with you.
Could actually add Shockwave as a, because they have done Shockwave as a legend class that turns into a gun. So you could actually do that and have him work with a combiner team, possibly.
I mean, but again, the decision is not about. There are sometimes that the lore doesn't go well with gameplay in general, right? In games, not just in Transformers Enterprise. So we decide that way. That doesn't mean that in the future we're not going to have some kind of like gun mode for some bots, like especially Megatron and Subway, of course. So probably that's the main reason. The reason is like it's a gameplay decision. But again, we are aware that they are guns and they are like meant to be shot.
So let's play the demo.
Yeah. So the demo is pretty simple. This level. It's going to be available for every single player the 21st, so everyone can play Volcanicus for free on their accounts. Even though if they're a new player and they just want to install the game just to play Volcanicus, they can go ahead, knock themselves out. All the animation in the game is like pretty. We're trying to be as loyal as possible with the bots, animation, everything that's related with the game. We try to be as close as G1 as possible because we really like G1, especially the movie. Chris is a he's a really big fan of the movie, myself as well, right? But he is the one calling the shots, so you can see the in the actual game. So you see this. So this is like this is exactly the same thing that you're going to have. The players are going to have. If you can see, there's like a we have a Grimlock in the throne because he's king. So if you tap on play now, this is exactly the same thing that every single player will have. But in two weeks' time, the idea is to have something more exclusive for Hascom attendees, of course.
Yeah.
But everything is ready. So if you see, well, you have the bots over there, and then you have Volcanicus on the right. So have you played the game before? I guess.
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know how to deploy and how to use the skills, right? So you deploy in the green area, anywhere there. Tap. So Volcanicus has three different attacks. One is the first one is tap on the floor there. It's an Ender's Ward. Basically, it's a jump attack. Jump on something and basically destroy it. The other one is like a flamethrower. It's called Fire and Brimstone. So basically, you set things on fire. It's a cone in front of you. And the last one, if you go tap again, it's called Extinction. It's like a meteor storm. There's actually several meteors falling from the sky.
Quick question. So you said that Volcanicus will be playable for free, but you'll still have to have the individual Dinobots up to the threshold level, right?
So, yes. So the Volcanicus, if you have the Dinobots in your game, and they are like 3 stars or more, you can unlock for your
Volcanicus.
But this level is like it's a demo level that's going to be available to all players for a few days. I think it's going to be for a weekend. We're like still like trying to figure out what the days are going to be, but everyone can try Volcanicus, and then if you have the Dinobots or the Predacons on your account, then you can unlock it on the 21st, probably the 22nd. Don't quote me on that one, but is going to be that weekend. We're going to have every Volcanicus is going to be in the game. If you don't have anything, you can try it. If you have your animals already, you can unlock it.
So, I'll ask a question that sort of ties to my insecurity around a lot of mobile games. Mm-hmm. I know that I've invested time in mobile games before, and they've disappeared over time. Mm-hmm. Even some Transformers stuff. It seems like Earth Wars, there's a lot of energy and investment in that. Do you guys see the lifespan of this product? Do you see it persisting for a while longer? I mean, obviously you're putting money into it now.
This game is the most popular game it's the most popular Transformers games ever. It's the period. It's not just for the players, for the amount of players, but also like the fandom around it, right? Yes, some of the games, basically on mobile, disappear really quickly. This game is 1 year old, and it's actually going to sit up. We're not in the roof right now. It's not the ceiling of the game. We have plans for the several years in the future, including like, new combiners, new game modes, new bots in general. Tripper changers are coming. We have a new feature that's called like power cores. That's going to expand. It's another layer on the cake, basically. So it's another dimension to the game. So this game. We are Space Ape Games as a company are aiming for the best games we can actually make. We have like different methods to create the games, but also to bring the games to the next level constantly. Right? We're not sitting with like, okay, we make a few bucks here and we're going. No, we're going for the best games, best player experience. We really want the players to enjoy the game. That's why we take. That's why we work with Hasbro so hand in hand. It's like. We are not taking. We don't go forward if Hasbro doesn't say. If the lore team from Hasbro, right, the design team comes to us and say like, hey, you know what, guys? Yeah, this fits the lore. This doesn't fit the lore. If it doesn't fit the lore, it's out of the question, right? We're not going to do anything because we want to keep the Transformers vibe around it. This game probably. I mean, we have the plans already for many years in the future. It's not just.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, anything else, Pablo, before we go?
No, I mean, everything is like grisly forward. I mean, we try to bring the demo exactly for that. So, there's no like BS going on. Just sit down and play. That's why we're going to do the same demo for every single player in the world. So, they can actually try the experience that many players here, all the kids. Actually, a lot of kids playing the game. A lot of like grown-ups were playing the game, like young adults, everyone's enjoying the game, everyone's enjoying the new combiners, and I think that this is something new that we're trying, like you can try the combiners for free, completely for free, and I think this is great for, not just for us, but also for the community, so they can actually try out the new bots they really like, right? I mean, Dinobots is really popular, in particular Grimlock, so it's one of the most popular characters in the game, you know? Definitely, we're really happy. We're really excited to have this really exclusive content that no one can see anywhere but Transformers Earth War. So for us, it's a huge step forward. We're really happy to be working hand in hand with Hasbro constantly. We're really glad that we see players are really enjoying the game. So I mean, we're really happy.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Don, what's on the network this week?
All right, what's on the network this week? Being Awesome with Rob Springer, episode 118. We all float down here. This week in Awesome, Rob talks HasCon and Transformers University briefly before Q&A is all about Hollywood actors doing Transformer voices. All that, and do you think seeing it right before a giant storm was a bad idea? Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, The Icarus Factor. It's Riker Daddy Issues. The episode in TNG, The Icarus Factor, featuring generic 80s sitcom dad actor in the role of Kyle Riker. Despite having all the screen presence of cardboard, he's actually the most charismatic, popular, and interesting man of the 24th century. Honestly, and did we mention John Tesh is in this episode?
Oh, really?
He's a Klingon.
Really? I didn't know that.
A holographic Klingon, but still.
I had heard he was in Star Trek, but I never knew where. RPG Lessons Learned, Episode 19, The Haunting Call of Cthulhu. This week on RPG Lessons Learned, Dusty, Brian, and Mike are joined by Nathan to talk about The Haunting from the Call of Cthulhu Quick Start Guide. And thanks to the Real Ghostbusters for teaching me how to say Cthulhu.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, the collect Call of Cthulhu. RFC Extra Episode 37, HasCon 2017, Day 2. On this special edition of RFC Extra, Brian is joined by Anthony Bucalli, Eric Crownover, and Diecast.
Crownover.
I was about to thank him for saying my name right, but there that goes.
Okay, slight mistake, my fault.
No, you said it right.
Said it right, Don.
Oh, okay. To discuss the second day of HasCon 2017, they were talking about the Hasbro VIP tour, the Hall of Fame dinner, the Last Night panel, the Frank Welker and Peter Cullen panel, and more. We will go into great, and it stops. Okay.
We ran out. The description is longer than the homepage said.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go into more detail on this episode of RSC that you just listened to on the event and everything, but that was just sort of a highlight. And same thing for the next one, Don. You can just skip episode 36, yeah, which is day one.
So episode 36 and 37 RFC Extra is all the gritty, grimy, behind-the-scenes details of HasCon.
And it was great. While I'm talking about it, I didn't mention this in the rundown, but hanging out with Anthony Brucalli. I love Anthony. He's such an awesome dude, and I haven't seen him in years, so it was great to hang out with him. Is that it, Don? Anything else? That's it.
That's it.
So also, it was awesome to finally meet Eric. You're such a great dude. We loved hanging out with you. You get the Diecast Brian and Kim seal of approval. So.
It was fun.
You're good
people.
It was
definitely, it was a good experience.
And always, it's great hanging out with Diecast. And
thank you.
It was great
hanging out with you guys, too.
We had an awesome time hanging out, and I apologize to Don for some of my trolling that we did. I got caught up in it. And
we had
fun.
And if you check your mail tomorrow, I apologize for that, too.
Sorry.
But Don, your RC is on the way, so
thank you.
The head may wait until TFCon, but
no,
the RC is on the way.
No, I have not. The seal has not been broken.
But thank you to Brian for picking that up for me. Diecast, you can go somewhere else. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Kim, for waiting in line and trying to help me get one. I sincerely do appreciate it. Thank you.
You're awesome. Remember, of course, you can find this episode at tfradio.net/... God, I still need caffeine. Let me take a swig real quick. So good. /536 to view the show notes. Leave us a voicemail, 931-99-GO-BOT. That's 931-994-6268. You can also send a text. And when Don and I finally get his show ready, we'll also take calls at that number as well. But
at some point between now and the heat death of the universe.
Yeah.
We've narrowed it down that much.
That's true. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. Like us at Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio and on Instagram at TF Podcast. I am personally on Twitter at B Kilby and on the Instagrams at Brian Kilby. Diecast, how do people get a hold of you?
You can watch my reviews on RFC Reviews on YouTube. Yeah, that's where it is.
The YouTube.
And then on Facebook, you can find me on at Reviews by Diecast and on Twitter at Diecast2. I'm different everywhere.
Yeah. John is at That John D everywhere.
Everywhere.
He is not at That John D in email, however, because I tried to send him an email day before yesterday. No, yesterday. And I tried to send it to thatjohnd@gmail.com. And I realized, like, before I hit send, that that's not his email address.
We should make him register that Gmail account.
I need to change his RFC email to just thatjohnd@tfradio.net. Rob.
I am on Twitter at Figure Viewers and Flailthroughs, and I am on YouTube at Flailthroughs, currently running through Gundam Breaker 3, which is excellent. And, of course, the video material that XV and I do for tformers.com can be found on YouTube at tformersTV.
Cool. Matt.
XV is not here this week, but you can follow him on Twitter at ChrisRTXV.
Yes, you can.
I was going to say that.
That's good. Don.
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
And Eric.
Find me on Twitter at Eric Crowbar, two C's, I think.
Yeah.
And Instagram at Aramis Prime.
I don't think you're ever on Twitter. Are you ever on Twitter?
I never go on Twitter.
Hey, so why did you create a new account for your podcast? Why didn't you just change the name of it?
Because I did it a while ago when I didn't realize I could do that.
Oh, okay.
Ah, there you go.
Funny.
It was a long time ago.
Awesome. Okay. Well, Jason in the chat, thank you for sharing all the links to our YouTube viewers. You are the man. Very much appreciate it. I guess we'll be back next week. I'll be properly caffeinated. I apologize for that. So, we'll see you later.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?